incredibly grateful just to be back in the building. Welcome back with open arms to my teammates, the whole entire organization. Not gonna lie, it's been relatively tough to watch from the sideline, but if I get the opportunity to get on the court and play with some of my teammates, and you know, even if it's just on the road for away games, I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
Tonight, after months of speculation, Kyrie Irving gets the opportunity to play his very first game of the season on the road in Indianapolis, officially making the Nets point guard something unprecedented, a part-time superstar who remains banned from his own home court. It's the latest twist in a characteristically bizarre saga, the function of Kyrie's defiantly unvaccinated status and New York City's vaccine mandate, and a would-be title contender that finds itself desperate for help. So today, we ask our man on the Brooklyn beat, Nick Friedel, how any of this is going to work. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, January 5th. This is ESPN Daily. So Nick Friedel, you were covering the Golden State Warriors as your most recent stop before you became the Brooklyn Nets beat guy for us. Another turn in your decade-long career covering the NBA for ESPN. How's it been so far, man? How long have you been on the beat to this point?
About 3-4 days. So the buddy of mine told me, Pablo, I think it summed it up perfectly. When I went from the Warriors to the Nets, he goes, "You're going from the Steph show to the shit show." And when I heard that, I went, yeah, it's going to be intriguing.
Well, Nick, let's get into the shit, man, because it's here, right? Kyrie Day is here tonight. Kyrie Irving, the Nets superstar point guard, he is expected to play in his first game of the season in Indiana. You're going to be there. You're going to be covering this game. And for those people who have been hibernating, gloriously unaware of what this whole saga has resembled, the guy has missed the first 35 games of the season because he did not get vaccinated against COVID-19. And New York City, of course, has this vaccine mandate, which means that he could not practice with the team or play home games. So before we get into what changed here, why this is all happening, just remind us, Nick, what the Nets had been saying at the beginning of the year about what all of this, all of these laws meant for Kyrie's status.
That Kyrie wasn't going to be a part-time player on their team. The Nets, I think, from a lot of people across the country who weren't even basketball fans, they gained a lot of respect because people are saying, all right, these are the rules. If you don't want to be part of it, then we're not going to allow you to kind of be halfway on this. We're not going to allow somebody who doesn't have the vaccine to only play in the road games. The continuity won't be the same.
Right. I mean, Nick, Sean Marks, the Nets GM, said at the beginning of the season, very definitively, that they were not going to let Kyrie just be this part-time player.
I think we're looking at putting a group of people out there that are going to be able to participate fully. And we're not looking for partners that are going to be, you know, half-time. I don't think that would be fair, not only on the team and staff and ownership and fans, but to be quite frank, not fair on Kyrie either.
They wanted everybody on their team to be a full member of their team. And they wanted Kyrie to participate in everything, to be a player who would go through the ups and downs with everybody, but would go through all the practices.
A shocking concept, Nick.
Yeah,
a shocking concept.
Yeah. I mean, truly, how about that? In the beginning, everybody looked at the roster and they thought, they'll still have plenty of success. There's still a chance with Kevin Durant playing at MVP level, with Harden coming into form here in the last few weeks, it appeared that they would have enough. And then, Pablo, the Nets don't have enough. Newsflash. They look like a flawed team. In the lead up to this Indy game, what's occurred is they had a lot of injuries. They had a bad COVID outbreak. They didn't have a lot of high-level players. And I think behind the scenes, there were several players, and it sounds like KD was one of them, that were going, hey, we need Kyrie. Even if it's on this part-time basis, and even if he can play in road games, we need him right now in this moment to help us win games. And the Nets said, okay, And I think from a broader base, they just lost a lot of respect that they had gained because they are now allowing what they said they didn't want to allow in the first place.
So there was principle, there was courage of conviction at the start of this, and then it seems they realized we are concerned about how good of a basketball team we are. Sean Marks comes out and says, what, it's an emergency situation, we need this guy.
What led to the decision to bring Kyrie back, and what changed from when you made the initial decision not to permit him to be a part-time player till now?
You know, the overall environment has changed, as we all know, drastically. COVID has done a number on the team and on society in general. And we've seen the large minutes that our guys have had to endure and play, and we've got to look at what's best for the team.
But then as soon as the announcement is made that Kyrie is cleared to be a member of the team again, what happens?
Kyrie goes into health and safety protocols.
To the NBA, seems hard to imagine that just a day after blinking in their stare down with Kyrie Irving over his controversial status with the team, that in a span of like 24 hours, something could be a bigger headline than that in Brooklyn. Though here we are. Both Irving and Durant are in the health and safety protocols. They join 8 other Nets players in the protocol. That includes James Harden.
Of course, Pablo.
Of course.
Of course. When you've got a team that's having a COVID outbreak and you're bringing in the one player who's not vaccinated on your team, and you've got all the issues going on in New York City, there are a lot of people around the league who are going, of course that happened. They go through the motions to bring Kyrie back, and he instantly goes into health and safety protocols. It was the faceplant emoji come to real life.
So Kyrie goes right into health and safety protocols. He's in isolation for over 10 days. He gets the necessary negative tests to eventually rejoin this team. And at this point, Nick, what are the logistics of him rejoining the Nets? Like, is he going to get to practice with them? Does he travel with them? How does all of this work?
There are a lot of layers here because the Nets, as a more veteran-based team, they don't have a lot of formal practices. I got their travel schedule the other day, and Pablo, I was like, damn.
I love that the Nets are this strange, like, student-led liberal arts small college. We don't do formal practice. Yeah, we sit on the grass outside and we talk about basketball. Yeah.
As somebody whose dad went to Beloit College in Wisconsin and it was kind of a do-it-yourself major at times. That really resonates with me. But when I saw this schedule, I went, oh, man, they do not have a lot of formal practices. And a lot of teams across the league do it different ways. But because there are so many older guys, they're not going in and running through drills for an hour and a half, 2 hours. But I will say this, and this is crucial. Like every other team, you've got the guys on the 10-day deals, the guys coming up from the G League. Steve Nash called it the stay ready group. So just because you don't hear, oh, well, the Nets had practice today, that does not mean that Kyrie isn't able to get in his work.
He was in isolation for however many days, 10 plus days, I think. And so for him to come out of that and to look as, you know, good as he has playing with the Stay Ready group and getting his rhythm back has been exciting.
He may not be going against KD and Harden in practice, but he is getting a lot of different reps against a lesser caliber of player because all those guys are still coming into the gym, even on the quote unquote days off. Now, he is traveling with the team, and that all starts in Indy because he hasn't been around much. Patty Mills told an interesting story the other day. He said that when he walked in, he hadn't seen Kyrie in like 3 months. So you've got all these guys who haven't seen him in the practice facility. Maybe they had talked a little bit behind the scenes, but they're like, he's back.
The basketball end of this, right? The guy missed almost half a season of doing his job, right? I mean, that's what has happened. And it is this experiment as to like, well, what can a player do after not playing for this long upon his return?
I kept asking Kevin and Harden, how did he look? And Harden looks at me and he goes, he looked like Kyrie.
Yesterday, how did you think Kyrie looked in practice?
Like Kyrie? Elite?
And there's a pause. elite. And you're like, okay. And KD looked at me after I asked that question about how he looked, and he said he looked great. I said, well, how is this going to work with the continuity? And he's like, have you seen him play?
Why are you guys so confident that you can keep that continuity with someone who's only going to be there half the time?
I mean, have you watched him play? He's a master. He can adapt and do anything out there, so we don't worry about him.
Pablo, it sounded like he was talking about like a grand chess champion. Like, this dude, he's just like levels above all the rest of us normal people out here.
I have to admit here, Nick, that as I talk to you in the background, faintly but increasingly loud, I hear the voice of Stephen A.
Is the voice of Stephen A ever faint? Come on. Let's go.
It's been really hard to talk to you and him at the same time, I must admit, as my mind is trying to manage both of these voices. But he's obviously emblematic of the opposition to this concept.
Is this the right move to bring Kyrie back?
No, it isn't. I think it's a horrible move. I think it's a disgraceful move. I think that Nets ownership is incredibly disappointing, and I think that the league should intervene.
But you're telling me, Nick, that the Nets players, the Nets themselves, there aren't hard feelings towards Kyrie is what it sounds like.
It doesn't feel like it at all. Even if they might have disagreed internally, Pablo, and thought, I'd rather him get this shot because it makes our team better. It feels like they understood. And now that he's back in the fold, it's kind of like we will take whatever we can get. This season has been so bizarre on so many different levels. If the choice is no Kyrie at all or some Kyrie in this strange road-only form, it's a roll of the dice that the KD and company are saying, hey, we'll take our chances.
I mean, the chances still seem pretty damn good that they're going to make a legit playoff run here. So, Nick, after this break, I want to know how much Kyrie changes those odds, especially if the whole idea of home court advantage is going to mean something uniquely different to the Brooklyn Nets.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Nick, back in the present tense, it is January 5th, 2022. It's still hard for me to say that. But the Nets are 23-12. They've lost three straight games. But I want to talk about the game they lost to the Clippers, because they were completely decimated, the Clippers were, as a team, as a roster. And you tweeted after that one that you had never seen Kevin Durant quite so frustrated in his entire career. What happened there? How would you describe the state of what the Nets have going as we speak?
The chemistry is not good. The chemistry of this group looks like they're still unsure of exactly who is going to show up night to night. You go back on New Year's night and they lose to a Clippers team that is playing with all these no-name G League guys that most people wouldn't know. They're up double digits in the last few minutes, and they're giving up wide open shots.
They've sleptwalked through parts of this game, and now facing the fire. To the corner, man alone, he got it! Terrence Mann makes it a two-possession Clipper lead. Durant will fire the three. No good. And that is a really rough loss for Brooklyn.
As somebody who covered Kevin in that last year in Oakland, Pablo, I think he knows right now that the attitude for a team that has championship aspirations isn't to the point that he needs him to be.
How confident are you in this group to be able to bounce back the way you guys need to following this kind of loss?
Well, we're going to get our ass continue to get kicked if we don't approach the game in a proper way. It's about the group. It's about how we're going to come out here and be the best that we can each possession. Tonight wasn't one of those nights.
To hear him that mad over a game he knows that they should have won led me to believe that he knows that behind the scenes, there are a lot of different questions that have to be figured out if they want to get things all the way back on track.
So I'm looking ahead to your life, to your schedule, Nick, the Nets' schedule. They play in Indy tonight. They have two home games in which Kyrie cannot participate for reasons that are now obvious. They get two road games early next week, one in Portland, one in Chicago. That's a big game, of course. You know, the experiment also is just what it's like to go without him in this very deliberate, alternating way. Does that feel like something to worry about just on a purely conceptual level?
Yes. I mean, you and I have covered the league a long time. We've talked to a lot of people in play for years and years. And what do you always hear? The group needs to be on the same page.
Yes.
There needs to be continuity between the stars finding their rhythm together and everybody else who is kind of orbiting around, in this case, the KDs and the Hardens and the Kyries. I have never heard a coach say, you know what? You know what would be great? I would love to have one of my star players only playing half of these games. I mean, that's never in the history of basketball been something that any coach or GM would throw out there, because they know that this is a game built on timing and rhythm. And I don't care how unbelievably talented a player is. And Pablo, if there's anybody who can buck this trend, as he's bucked so many other trends along the way, it's Kyrie Irving. But that is what makes the next 4 or 5 months that much more intriguing, because not only have none of us really seen this, it's a matter of, all right, well, maybe the Nets do play well. Maybe they go on this long road trip. They're going to the West Coast at the end of the month and they play really well and they're picking up a bunch of wins. Well, they come home and they don't see Kyrie, at least playing in the games. And that is going to be such a huge adjustment, I would think, early on, that even if you feel like you have figured it out, how much can you figure out when you're taking that much talent off the floor for gaps in time?
When I think about the playoff picture, what feels epically, epically bizarre is that the Nets might be in the situation, and the Nets, by the way, currently number two in the East, they may be in a situation where being the one seed in the Eastern Conference, having home court advantage, might actually be a disadvantage for them, because Kyrie can't play in those home games, right? I mean, he could not play, as things stand now, in games 1, 2, 5, and 7.
I mean, wouldn't it be perfect? Wouldn't it be perfect?
Losing your star point guard in and out like that, it honestly, part of me perversely wants to see that.
I cannot imagine. The NBA has been searching for strong storylines and excitement and pump up the hype at every point. Pablo, can you imagine the Warriors versus the Nets, with the Warriors having home court advantage, with Kyrie bouncing in and out of San Francisco, and you've got Kevin Durant and Draymond Green going back and forth, and you've got Steph and Harden seeing each other in a playoff series again. It would be incredible. I have to tell you that as I have jumped into this Nets saga, I am with you now completely, because the amount of fascination at the whole scene of what could be possible now with this team that seems like at least in the moment they're teetering on, do we really want to be a title group? And I think KD having one title sees that this team right now does not have the type of attitude that it needs to get to that point, having walked into this Indy game with three straight losses. I think it would be really something to see Kyrie, with all of the other stuff going on, come into this situation and be able to lift everybody else up around him when he's still only able to play in half of these games.
All right, Nick, coming up, I want to get back to your old beat with the Golden State Warriors and talk about the long-awaited league-shifting return of another superstar, Klay Thompson.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Nick, you mentioned that you were, before all of this, the Warriors beat guy. And the Warriors, of course, are also undergoing a return of a parallel but also incredibly different fashion. Because Klay Thompson is coming back after 2 years off with significant injuries. There was the torn ACL, then the torn Achilles, and now Woj is reporting that Klay is expected to be back in the lineup at home for the Warriors on Sunday against the Cavaliers. So as someone who was on all of this as a reporter, what's your reaction to that news?
The emotional lift that his presence will give them is going to be off the charts. I cannot tell you, Pablo, in the last couple of years, how many different times people have said, when Klay's in here, the vibe is completely different.
Oh, the vibes, man. Oh, the vibes are so great with him. In a real way. I'm not even kidding. Like, just, it seems awesome to be around him.
It's tangible. I mean, people laugh. Oh, man, the vibes. Yeah, I bet Klay's got some good vibes. But truly, when you see him out there, and given what he's been through, everybody who watches him, the smile comes to their face. And it ties in so perfectly, because Steve Kerr's whole thing with the Warriors has been finding that basketball joy, and how it all works from a basketball standpoint is going to be something, because he hadn't been there for 2.5 years. And you're not sure if we're going to see the same player that we saw, especially on the defensive end. That's the biggest question. But
right. From
a strictly human standpoint, to have him back out there and to be able to get the lift that he will provide just by being in uniform on the floor is a gigantic thing for a team that has clearly shown to be, at least the first 2.5 months, the best team in the league.
No, there is this whole, like, Klay's tide lifting all boats. And, of course, there is a literal boat here that is being lifted, and that is Klay Thompson's actual boat that he is. Oh, just explain Klay and the boat for people who have, unfortunately, been unaware of what that is.
At the beginning of the pandemic, Klay, who grew up, at least in part, in Southern California, his dad, Michael, played for the Lakers. He went down there and he bought a boat and he drove it back to the Bay. And it's been a real source of escapism almost from all the rehab that he was dealing with. And the short story here, Pablo, is that Zaza Pachulia, who played in the league for a long, long time, is one of Klay's close friends. Zaza went to Klay after the second injury. So the ACL was first. Everybody remembers that in the finals against the Raptors a few years ago. And the Achilles was on draft day 2020. So that was a year plus ago. Zaza went to Clay and said, look, whatever you're passionate about, whatever you think you'd enjoy, we've got to find something else to lift you up. And you've got to get invested into something besides basketball. Because the thing that worried so many people in the Warriors organization was that Clay's first love, Clay's main love, was the game. And you've taken away the game from him. So Zaza said, we got to find something that fills that void because you don't have it right now. And so they started talking, and Clay always enjoyed being on the water. His dad's from the Bahamas, always enjoyed the trips down there. And Zaza told me, he said, Clay was like, let's try a boat. And Zaza's like, yeah, let's go for it. So Clay Thompson, the star future Hall of Famer, NBA player.
Second greatest shooter of all time, yes.
Going back and forth to practice at Chase Center, drives a boat from near his house into close to where Chase Center is. And there are so many different fun aspects of this story. But, Pablo, the thing that always cracked me up is that Clay has a dog named Rocco, mm-hmm. Who he's become very close to through the years. And Clay said he had a little life vest made for Rocco so that Rocco could be like the first mate on the boat when he's going back and forth. And when he's on the boat, a lot of times he's on Instagram Live so he can connect with different people.
Woo-hoo! Nice. Man, I miss hooping.
He's just talking about all kinds of random stuff, whatever pops into his head.
I'm taking in all the sights. A lot of sailors out today. A lot of sailors. What is going on in Alcatraz?
Now, part of the reason that he said he started going on Instagram Live on the boat is because he felt lonely.
Mm.
He wanted that connection again, and now he's so close to a return. But there is no question, in the rehab, you can focus on all of the different exercises and agility moves out on the basketball court. That's one thing. The thing that has really helped him has been getting out there on the water and kind of forgetting all that he's dealing with in his real life job.
So, Nick, when Clay gets off the boat and he gets back onto the court with the Warriors, for real, what kind of a Clay Thompson do you think we're going to be getting?
The most motivated Clay we've seen at any point in his career. I cannot stress to anybody listening to us right now how much that Clay Thompson is looking forward to proving to the world that not only can he still play at a high level, but he can still contribute to a team that he feels like is going to win a title. And there is such a feeling of people have forgotten just how great I can be, how great we, the Warriors, can be, that he's looking forward to that reminder of, we're still here, I'm still here, and we're going to kick your ass for the next few years. This guy's been sitting there for 2.5 years waiting for the moment where he can get back out there and go, hi, I'm back, and we're going to dominate everybody again.
Yeah, you may recall me from the time that I scored 60 points in 29 minutes using only 11 dribbles. I mean, Nick, it's crazy to think that Clay might be anything close to that version of himself, man.
He's one of those guys who has the ability, by not even saying that much, to raise up the feelings of everybody else around him. His role within the framework of that team has always been so perfect because Steph is the star of stars and can hit 40 footers without breaking a sweat. And you've got Draymond, who's this defensive wizard behind the scenes who can MF a guy and hug him, 10 seconds later, and everybody loves him. Clay and his personality fit perfectly within the framework of a team that knows that it can win. And I think, Pablo, what's important here is the Warriors started to feel in the last few weeks that This is a championship contender. This is a team with the defense that they're playing and with the production they're getting up and down the roster that can win and kind of keep going. If you add Klay to that, knowing what we already know about him and knowing how motivated he is to prove to everybody that he's still got it, that takes them from wherever they were to a completely different place. And that is why there is so much optimism right now, not only about what they can be in the short term, but what it can turn into after we see him playing for a few months as they get into the playoffs.
Nick Friedel, I look forward to talking to you around June when we get the weirdest NBA Finals Nets-Warriors that we've ever seen.
I cannot wait. I can't wait for it.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.